Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, there it is. And there we are. Hello, everyone.
Hold your breath. Make a wish.
Yeah.
Count to three.
Yeah.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it.
Hurry up, pilot.
This way, Grandpa.
No life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world, there's nothing to it. If I know to compare with your imagination, living there, you'll be free if you truly
childhood, one of the best lines in a movie, and you always say it, hold your, was hamsters. Nick, you're distracting me.
Okay.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three. Who in their childhood did not do that? Everybody. We got 408-757 714-248. You are all live.
Yes.
Hello. Who did not hold their breath and count to three to make a wish?
I did not.
Hell, I
said
it. Unavailable.
None of
hey,
you did it?
Hey, Francie, it's Jonathan.
Hey,
hey
Jonathan.
Hey,
okay,
what's going
so
on?
Let's say, let's hear everybody, let's all do a name call. Okay, who do we have on right now?
Tom Sawyer.
Tom!
Joe Quinn.
Joe!
Hey, yep, Jonathan Moody.
Jonathan A. Moody.
Yes.
And we got one more, right?
Tom Sawyer.
I thought we had Brett.
Brett
yeah,
Crusoe from
okay.
Bald Head Radio.
So nobody held their breath and counted the three to make a wish?
Sure. I did. Yeah, sure. I'll take the fifth on that, Your Honor.
I know, Joe, you are like one of the biggest dreamers ever. I know. And Jonathan, hello, you build your dreams. Everybody builds their dreams here. I know that you made a wish.
I mean, are you talking about with the, like, blowing out the candles? Or are you talking about, like, I wish to buy a star before.
The chocolate factory.
She's talking about, like, a birthday wish. I don't think that's what she was talking about.
Yeah, like, I don't really, like, I don't know. I've never held my breath and wished. I'm sad to say. I usually, like, wish upon a star or... You know, or blow out my candles, but that's about the only wishes I ever do.
Yeah, and...
You know what the difference between a wish and a dream is? One happens
what?
And the other doesn't.
That's true.
Dreams come true. Wishes, I don't put much stock in wishes, man. You can wish something all you
that's
want, but the dream is something that you pursue.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that.
Yeah.
I actually have to have his back on that one, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Francie.
I do. It's kind of like this saying also is the perfect reason for insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again.
And expecting different results.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but... Okay. Gene Wilder. I mean, you guys loved him, right? If anybody says
yep.
they hate him, where I'm going to show up at your doorstep and I'm going to shoot you in the head.
How
Gene
can anybody
Wilder.
Hate Gene Wilder? I mean, seriously, this guy was an amazing...
What?
He was comedy, he was drama, he had a well-rounded career. A lot of different things. I got to honestly say my favorite thing that he'd ever done was Blazing Saddles with Mel Brooks. I think he was amazing in that movie.
I don't want to hurt you. I just want to eat you. How many people have said that when they've seen a chicken? Am I the only one again?
Probably.
Was that stir crazy?
I've not seen a chicken. Yes.
You're crazy. With Richard Pryor.
I am. Yeah.
I mean, come on, Gene Wilder. I mean, oh my gosh. Where were you when you found out that he passed away? I bet you all know.
I was on the air with you.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember.
We know where you both were.
I was in the car, and you know, when the news came out that Gene Wilder passed away, he actually passed away a month before that because the family wanted him, and Gene Wilder did not want the world to know that he passed away yet because he wanted the family to mourn his death before the world did. Did you guys know that?
That's very cool.
Fitting.
I'm working with a bunch of guys again. Damn
it.
Dave,
it's always
God
the sausage
here.
Fest here. It's always
I
the
know.
Sausage
respect
fest.
The rich
on Franny,
deceased.
Franny, Franny. Where's Dawn?
All right, so what we're
going to
talk about, Jonathan, I know you got my back on this because And Joe and Brett, I know you guys all got my back on this. What a crazy year of 2016. Joe.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You
know what I mean, Frankie?
Crazy.
I have the list in front of me, and sometime during the show, I would like to be the MC to just read all these off. I think it would do justice to 2016. Here we are in the first day, New Year's Day of 2017. So we have the final numbers in as far as that goes.
Okay, Brett.
I would just like to do something like that. You know, if not,
go for it, Brett.
But sometime in the show as we go along, we can work something like that in, because we really got to give, you know, a tribute to all these people. The numbers are, first
it's
of all,
crazy.
Astronomical for 1 year. It's insane, right?
I want to ask you a question, though.
Hold on. Go ahead, Jonathan.
I just want to ask a question. Is Joe Fleischaker on that list that you have?
Oh, that's a good question.
He passed away this last year. And if he's not on that list, I'm going to be very disappointed. Because
he had a
very big impact.
What was the month that you remember that he would have passed away?
Oh, God. When was it? It was earlier this in 2016, I do believe. But could be wrong.
Now, keep in mind, the list I'm getting is not a list I made myself because I'm lazy. It's actually a list from Chicago TV, WGN.
I'm going to have to agree with
you. He may not be here. There were so many. I mean, listen, if you want to talk about celebrities, would you consider the guy that created the Red Solo Cup a celebrity? However, he was a man that changed everybody's life. There's nobody that went to a kegger in the last 40 or 50 years that did not whip out a Red Solo Cup to fill up. Am I right?
Right.
You know. Also,
okay, but you're
not a celebrity, but an inventor or somebody famous.
Like nerd, just for a second. The guy that also invented black mass, he died too.
See, something I didn't know. There you go.
The woman scientist that discovered black matter.
Black matter, sorry. Mass matter.
She said black.
What does it matter?
Black mass.
She's a woman.
Black mass is a satanic kind of thing. So black matter.
Black matter.
Yes,
the woman that invented black matter.
And she didn't invent
it.
She theorized. She discovered and theorized about black matter. But, yes, she passed away as well. That I do know. There are a lot of people that slipped underneath the radar as far as this stuff goes, because it's been such an impactful year with this subject matter here. We can all agree about that.
Definitely. It was May, by the way. May 23rd, I believe.
All right, let me see here. March, April. You know, every month of this year, or last year, every fucking month. All right, what was his name?
Joe Fleischaker. He is a trauma actor, trauma star.
They did not list
trauma.
Him.
Yeah, I didn't think so. A lot of these things, he was listed on a list of people, and I was like, oh, man, I know this is an independent person who made this list, because it's definitely not he's definitely not a huge name on the, you know, but, man, he was definitely missed. When he passed away this year.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is like Francie mentioned, for her, the big one was, go ahead and say it, Francie. Who was your big one?
Gene Wilder.
Don't say it like you're, like, deflated. What are you doing?
Well, you know.
Gene Wilder was a huge one. For you, that was a very personal thing.
No, I'm not saying it's, I'm not saying it like that. It's just, you know. It's like Jonathan A. Moody is talking right now. You know, you got this big guy, and he wants to give tribute to him. And the thing is that he wants to do it because he touched people's lives. And
exactly.
You know, maybe not in the mainstream or the commercial. I mean, everything that you're saying, Jonathan, is so awesome because he touched life, and he's touched a lot of people's lives personally. And just like with any celebrity. I mean,
that's the
Jonathan,
thing that we're talking
I
about here.
Love that you're bringing this guy up because he touched your life. And
well, yeah, I mean, I actually knew him, so it's even more heartbreaking when you actually kind of communicated with the person who unfortunately has passed. I mean, I didn't actually physically meet him, which was a bummer, but I've chatted with him on the phone, and I believe I've had him on my radio show. So he was somebody who I admired and everything, but unfortunately he was, you know, I mean, it just happens.
Yeah, and you got these, and I'm glad you're bringing them up because, you know, here's another life, and I think that's great that you're bringing them up.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
And I love Gene Wilder, and I love, I mean, almost every single person that has died has touched at least somebody's heart in some way or another. And,
that's the point.
You know, so it's really, it's great. I mean, this year has been sad. Celebrities, you know, passing.
Yeah, and I got to ask you guys, I mean, like, Alan Thicke, come on, Growing Pains, I know you guys are a bunch of guys, and you're like, Growing Pains,
Hey, I was a fan of the show.
Hey, what about Patty Duke and Florence Henderson?
Right?
I mean, they just pass away so fast. That's what we're talking about right now. You know,
yeah,
that's
Patty Duke and
guy's opinion.
Sounds like Nick's
I mean,
a little late to the party there.
Did you guys ever watch that?
Go ahead, Jonathan.
You know, you just kind of like, well, the first thing you hear is that Bill Cosby is American's dad, and then Bill Cosby went through a couple of legal troubles, and now it's Alan Thicke. Is American's dad, and then America's mom died.
That's right.
Florence Henderson.
That's right.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on? You got to okay. First of all, we have to look at the fact that a good number of the people that passed away were that lived good long lives, and they passed away, you know, natural, just, you know, like Kitty Allen, a singer, January passed away last year. She was 94 years old. You know, there's a lot of people, but there were also a lot of the ones that had the most impact were the ones that had the most impact on us as younger people. You know, most of us are, I dare say, are in our 40s. Or 30s that
MTV
are on the
generation.
Now, if I can
go ahead and
say
it, MTV
so,
generation.
So we can say guys like Alan Rickman, you know, wasn't that much older than us, and he was a great actor and had a great influence on us as far as his acting goes. You know, Glenn Frey passed away. He was only 67 years old.
Prince.
Then you got guys like Abe Gavota. Abe Vigoda was a great actor, but he was 94 years old, so he had a good long life. It's the ones that died when they were a lot younger, you know, in their 50s and in their 60s, you know, that have a lot more impact, especially when it was something that was unexpected, so to speak.
Dare I say, like, Carrie Fisher, as it goes to her mother, Debbie Reynolds.
That was both unexpected.
Was that?
Yeah.
That was incredibly unexpected for Carrie Fisher, and then have her mom drop dead the next day. That was insane because Carrie Fisher was fine.
Patty Duke.
Yeah. And in fact, she watched Rogue One, which is the number one movie right now.
Which I'm going to see tomorrow, by the way. Don't spoil it for me. Thank you.
Okay. I promise. I will not say anything.
Thank you,
Joe. I'm not going to say anything either, but just remember Star Wars, the very... Like the Titanic.
It's Joe Flynn Moore. That's what it is. Never mind.
I'm not
going to
ruin it. Nick ruined it for me, and I'm like, shut up. And Nick watched it, and I'm like, shut up, Nick. I'm going to go watch
Okay, I got a spoiler
don't
for you.
Don't listen to Nick.
We all know that Darth Vader is in Rogue One, right? Right. I got a spoiler for
you. Right.
Sometime in the very distant future, Darth Vader dies.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Luke's father.
Bam,
yeah,
twins.
Yeah, that was terrible.
But I swear I still live.
You with eyes.
You know, it's just like like as we're talking about sudden deaths. It's really weird that on Christmas Day George Michael's die.
Oh my gosh.
And then, and then the next day, Carrie Fisher has her heart attack, then dies the next day. Then Debbie Reynolds dies right after that the next day. It was just like, what the peep is going on in the cosmic universe? You know?
And, you know, and there's something I got to tell you that Nick said, and I didn't think about it. Like, Christmas morning, everybody was waking up to... Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. And he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, there's some irony in that. There's
everybody's losing you. And then it's like George Michael died, and it's like, turn that song off. I want a jitterbug. Okay, I'm going to hell. No, but you know, that's true. You know, you're listening to George Michael's last. How many of you listened to George Michael's Last Christmas before they found out he died?
I did.
Come on,
I was listening to Christmas music. I'm sorry.
And Nick found out, I was like, wow, we were listening Last Christmas, and I'm like, oh, crap, and he died.
At least he gave us his heart.
That's right. He gave the heart to everybody.
You know, for some reason, there was a lot of, next year, we're going to be like,
oh, he died last year.
There was a lot of too late posts going on Facebook there. And it was funny because it was like the day after George Michael died, all you saw on the social media feeds was like, oh, he had his last dance. He's never going to dance again. And Last Christmas, he gave us a heart. Now, it's like too soon. Yeah, 24 hours is maybe a little too soon. But then again, when we had a year like 2016 at that point in time, you just got to start, going straight to humor just to deal with it. A lot of people don't understand what humor means.
And, you guys, we were talking about Alan Rickman. I mean, I was a huge fan of Alan Rickman. Do we want to do a small tribute to Alan Rickman right now?
Sure, but let's not talk about Harry Potter. Can we do it that way?
Okay.
All right,
I'm going to play a little clip from Alan Rickman.
Is it Harry Potter?
Are we ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
We're ready.
All right, are we ready?
Sure. Well, this changes things.
Whether playing a villain or a good guy, he was always a welcome screen presence.
What do you need? Something along the stationery line? Are you short of staplers?
Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 Alan Rickman performances.
Have you actually seen this child, Doctor?
I check on her every day.
For this list, we're taking a look at those performances that show off this actor at his finest and or most memorable. Though Alan Rickman also tried his hand at directing, we're focusing on his performances in front of the camera here. Number 10, Judge Turpin, Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
And may the Lord have mercy on your soul.
To bring one of the bloodier musicals in existence to life, Tim Burton cast some of his favorites.
In a merry mood today, Mr. Todd.
Seamlessly joining Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter is Alan Rickman, as the absolute villain in a world of wrongdoers.
See your face again on this street. You'll rue the day.
as Judge Turpin, the Englishman revels in how evil he can be, and he must be, in order to set himself apart from the cannibalistic pie makers and butchering barbers of this world.
Service them well and hold their custom, for you'll have none of mine.
Meanwhile, Sweeney Todd would be nothing without Turpin, and the film would be missing the darkness and villainous flavor that Rickman effortlessly brings.
Seldom it is one meets a fellow spirit.
One thing's for certain, Alan Rickman's deep bass voice, whether spoken or sung, can cut like a razor.
So fetch the pomade and palmistone and blend me a more seductive tone, a sprinkling perhaps of French cologne, but first, sir, I think... a shave.
Number 9. Marvin the Paranoid Android, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I've been talking to the ship's computer.
And?
It hates me.
This next entry is a little bit out there, in a galaxy far, far away. The film may be hard to grasp for those of us who haven't binged on the Douglas Adams sci-fi series that inspired it.
I have an exceptionally large mind.
But even so, Marvin the Paranoid Android, with GPP, Genuine People Personality Technology...
I'm a personality prototype. You can tell, can't you?
...is definitely someone we've all known at some time or another.
Incredible. It's even worse than I thought it would be.
Called a terminal kvetcher by Roger Ebert, this manically depressed robot was brought to life by Rickman in a deadpan fashion that he absolutely mastered.
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
One thing to remember if you ever cross paths with this android, though. You may not want to talk to Marvin about life.
That's life.
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
Number 8. Harry, Love Actually.
Christmas shopping, never an easy or a pleasant task.
Rickman's character isn't exactly a villain in this rom-com, but we still don't really like him.
Right, the Christmas party, not my favorite night of the year, and your unhappy job to organize.
However, thanks to Rickman's skill, we can empathize with Harry's choices regardless.
You're looking very pretty tonight.
Love Actually boasts a star-studded cast with colliding plots. It also sees the reunion of frequent co-stars Rickman and Emma Thompson, in a story where they really had to act like they had no on-screen chemistry whatsoever.
Would you say knowing life would always be a little bit worse? Or would you cut and run?
God.
Are we back?
Yeah. We're back.
I wanted to say something about Alan Rickman before we move on. And one of the favorite movies of mine that he did was a very, very little known movie. And it was a two-person drama that he starred in with Madeline Stowe. And it was called Closet Man. Has anybody seen – or Closet Land. Has anybody seen it?
Nada.
I would highly recommend – if you like Alan Rickman, it was, in my opinion, it was one of his finest performances. And you've got two actors in one room for an entire movie doing what they do. The way that Madeline Stowe and Alan Rickman play off of each other as an interrogator, an interrogatee. Just his acting performance, because he played – she was blindfolded a lot of the times in this room being interrogated. Only being interrogated by one man, he would take on different roles. Sometimes he'd be like the antagonist, and sometimes he'd be like the friend of hers, trying to get her to talk about things, and just all the different. He was all the same character, but he would play different characters for her to get her to talk about stuff. His performance in that movie was amazing. I think it's probably one of the best roles that I've ever seen him do, and it's. It's a movie that so many people don't even know about and have never seen. It's called Closet Land. Look it up on IMDb. Do your research. Find it where you can. I was only able to find it in recent years, imported from, I think, either Italy or Spain. It's a region 2 disc, so you have to have a player that's going to be able to play it because it's not available in the United States at all. You're not going to find it on a region 1 disc.
I have actually heard of that.
It's amazing. It's an amazing performance by Alan Rickman right there, since we're talking about him.
It's a commercial.
Probably, it's my favorite.
Go ahead, Tom.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, Francie. Hold on,
okay.
Tom, are you with
me?
He's heard him so on Sci-Fi.
I've heard of that.
Okay, yeah.
I've heard of that. And it is hard to get access to that.
Very difficult. If you have the means, I highly recommend you pick one up.
Yeah, I've heard of that movie, what you're talking about. It was on the Mojo, and if I would have played it more, they were going to talk about that. But I cut it off. Because that, you know, Rickman, I mean.
I just watched a movie called Bottle Shock that Alan Rickman was in. A smaller independent movie done by the guy who ended up doing that that movie about the punk rock scene. The club that the Ramones used to play in and everything. But
BBGB's.
Yes, BBGB's, and I think he was in that as well. Because he works with this same director, but Dennis Farina was in Bottle Shock, Chris Pine, Bill Pullman, Eliza Dushku. It's a great cast. You know, it's actually really good.
The thing about Alan Rickman is he did a lot of great independent movies. He did a lot of great things that weren't really paid attention to by the movie industry. Everybody knows him from either Die Hard or Harry Potter. But if you really want to know Alan Rickman, you got to look beyond
that.
Die
Hard was, he never wanted to be an actor, and he tried out for Die Hard, and he got it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, what? You know,
I think the next movie he did after that was
one
Fog
of my
Atlanta
favorite
91.
Lines from him was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I want to
dig his heart out with a spoon. Why a spoon? Because it will hurt more.
Well, that's right.
No.
Go ahead.
That was great, you know. He's accomplished everything. And he never wanted to be an actor. And he tried out for Die Hard. And he's like the villain in the biggest movie of that year.
And he played an awesome villain. My favorite scene was with Alan Rickman in Die Hard was when he walked into the big, huge office with that big old map laid out. And he quoted, you know, when Alexander looked out on his lands, he wept because there were nowhere lands to conquer. And he was talking about the guy that owned the company. And he had – it was obvious that he had a disdain for this corporate guy, you know. Just calling him a total conqueror, you know. That was a great scene.
You know, and of course, yes, and of course, I know because, for me, Alan Rickman, yes, he was definitely, you know, and I would say for non-Christmas fans, yes, Tom.
Hello?
There you are, Tom. I thought you were saying something, so I didn't
want
to interrupt you.
No.
I was just going to say, my favorite Alan Rickman movie.
Unknown caller.
Go ahead, Joe.
My favorite Alan Rickman role, besides the Christmas theme of Die Hard, would be Galaxy Quest.
Alan,
Sigourney Weaver. There's a movie that people overlook, but, you know, it's a fun movie. And there we go. That's all I want, the Alan Rickman list.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Galaxy Quest was great because I love the character that Alan Rickman played because he hated doing all those conventions. He was just sick of it, but it was probably the only way that he was making any kind of money after the fact that the series they did And I love how they paid homage to, like, the Star Trek conventions. It was kind of done in that kind of way, where these guys were showing up to do this thing, and he fucking hated it, man. He's like, I don't even know why I'm here. I hate the character by the Wrath of Sun, whatever the fuck the line
is.
Everybody kept saying to him all the time,
Rickman
over
doing
and
that
over.
Too, like rolling his eyes, like.
He's like, why am
really?
I here? He's got to be there only because he's got no other. He has to dress up in the makeup and the headgear and shit every single convention. Boy, did he hate that shit. He really
like,
gave you a behind the scenes look on conventions and what these guys go through signatures out for a couple bucks a piece.
Rickman,
you know?
Why am I here?
There you go. But,
oh,
yes.
Okay. You want to meet a? Oh, I'm out. Yeah, you can see that, like Alan Rickman, because he's so grumpy and he's so awesome.
And he's a great comedian too. So, you know his comedic crap.
I know
he's done
so funny, and everybody took him as a serious actor. Like, you know, because
I thought he
did
the movie.
Die Hard.
He totally sold it. Yeah.
Right.
And I mean,
so
when we look at Die Hard, you can say Alan Rickman was my favorite fucking character in that movie. He was the guy. When he came out and said, I'm sorry, but your boss won't be joining you for the rest of his life. I mean, that's classic.
I know. He was great. He's the perfect bad guy because he's so sarcastic. Like,
right.
And even like they said in Mojo just now with Love Actually, he was great in Love Actually. So what do you want, a stapler? No.
Yeah, I do.
You know,
I want a stapler.
If you see Love Actually, you know what I'm talking about. Brett, you chuckled, right?
Yeah, I did. I was chuckling at Joe, too.
Because
yeah,
you see
I need
movie.
A stapler. Someone,
I mean,
please.
Alan Rickman, you are missed. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Alan Rickman.
Oh, most definitely. Should we go through the list? I want
to
talk about something that a lot of people don't even realize, if I can say. Just in October,
my list
reads October 23rd. I'm gonna talk about Pete Burns just for a little bit. Anybody know Pete Burns?
Oh, I know Pete.
Yes.
I've heard of Pete Burns.
Pete Burns was a major influence
on me back in the '80s.
That's right. Dead or Alive was a huge band back in the 80s. And the scene, I know you guys probably can't believe this, but in the 1980s, I was a bit in the 80s disco scene for a little while. And Dead or Alive was a huge, huge influence on me musically, and the music that I had written from that point on. An amazing band. But Pete Burns, he was only 57 years old. He had gone through a lot of plastic surgery. Let's just get that all out on the table right there. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that
Wait,
was a big
when you're older
no,
than me.
We talk about personal
spin
things.
Spin me round, round guy, right?
Yes,
yeah, you
spin
me round, round guy.
Round
exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of musicians that had passed away. That was a big one for me. And there were two others that were really huge for me, which we can get in at another time because I'm kind of dominating the conversation, and I really don't want to do that.
No,
here.
No, dominate it. That's why you're here.
Look at her dominating.
Oh, hey, hello. Welcome to the new show. Brett dominates the show. Coming soon to Fox.
Pete Burns died. I did not know that.
Pete Burns, yeah, he passed away in October. He was one of the later ones in October.
Yeah. Patty Duke.
Patty Duke. You know, yeah, I heard that twice now. Let's talk about Patty Duke.
Patty Duke?
Miracle Worker. Patty Duke Show.
Why are you hiding
right?
this from me, Nick?
Curse of the Black Widow.
Yeah, the TV movie.
Yeah.
Was the Patty Duke Show the one with, like, the two cousins or something?
Yeah, there
was supposed
to be cousins.
Identical.
They look alike
and
talk alike.
I remember that on, like, Nick at Night. They would show, like, back in the day, Nick used to show, like, instead of showing Full House and stuff like that, they used to show the old 50s and 60s TV shows, and I would watch that. Like, I don't know, I didn't really find it that funny when I was a kid because I guess it wasn't my...
It was adult, more adult-oriented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a... Adults would have laughed. I probably would laugh at it now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I say adult-oriented, I don't mean, like, offensive or anything. It's more like kids... It's not the kind of show that was that kids could really subscribe to, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it was like adult humor as far as, like, you know, I don't know, things that are just more funny for adults, you know, to get into. But,
right.
you know, just like the Dick Van Dyke Show and things
yeah,
like
exactly.
that. Like,
same thing.
See, I think of her more from the 70s made-for-TV horror movies.
Can I say something?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Pete Burns, when he passed away, he looked like Cher with overdrawn
lips. Like I said, Pete Burns had a lot of work done, man.
His lips are... Wow. Did he want to look like Cher?
I think he went the route of Michael Jackson with his plastic surgery.
He wanted to look like Diana Ross.
Yeah, he was going hard for a different, like, I don't like me and I've got to be someone else kind of thing. You know. But he had an awesome voice, man. His voice, no matter what he did to his face, his voice was always awesome. By the way, Patty did pass away in May 29th. Yeah, that's probably the only song you know by Dead or Alive, right?
That's right. They're only one hit. But then again, who knows? Maybe they'll bring out the best of the Dead or Alive.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump would have looked at him in 1 second and said, "You're fired."
You're fired.
Who knows?
Apprentice with culminated.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to be here. But, you know, I'm not on the Celebrity Apprentice. I'm sorry. I don't want to be.
I feel you, Joe. I feel you right there, dude.
Excuse me, Donald wants me on that show. No thanks. I'd rather take my chance not on The Bachelor either. But, hey.
Joe, you would be awesome on The Bachelor.
Hello, welcome to Bachelor Island.
Joe is the epitome of a bachelor. You would be awesome. I would love to see you with your top hat and your beard and just show up on that.
I totally agree with that one.
Hello.
I'm a man of my own dream.
That is my replacement.
I've been in a couple of movies. Aww.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a man with a plan.
Somewhere in
line. I know what I want to do in my life. Women would block you, Joe.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, it would, but I don't know, man. But, yeah, so talk about more deaths, you know, I'm sorry. I know Betty White's still with us, so thank be to God.
Thank God.
Betty White is still alive.
What was the thing going on? It was a GoFundMe or something like that. Some guy started on New Year's Eve to save Betty White from 2016. And I guess, you know, they're claiming that they raised, you know, several thousand dollars. $2,000, $3,000 to save Betty White from 2016. Evidently, it worked. But the cool thing about the guy that started this joke campaign was money was collected through the account, and he said if Betty White didn't want the money, he would donate to a charity. And I believe in the process of
doing
so. Does
he pay my electrical bill?
No, it's going to be for a true charity, accordingly from what the guy says. I don't know. I mean, everybody does some shady shit here and there. It could have been a
Betty White
kind of endeavor. I don't know.
Here we go. Since Jonathan Moody is on the line, and we're talking about GoFundMe, Jonathan, you want to put it out there?
Plug it, baby.
Well, today we launched a GoFundMe for my series that we're doing this spring called The Invited.
We've tried to raise money before. We've actually raised enough money to shoot a pilot before, but we're kind of needing finishing funds for the rest of it. So if you go to the GoFundMe.com/theinvitedtheseries, you can basically find it on there.
By the way, that's a forward slash, sir. Don't get the address confused.
Okay, forward slash.
Yeah.
Something slash.
Yeah.
Slash.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I knew there was a reason I was on the show tonight, to help everybody else.
That's right, to help us.
Grammar is always fun.
Yeah. Yeah, since we were talking about that, I figured we'd get Jonathan that plug for his GoFundMe spot. And
absolutely.
People, please help. You know, if you can donate.
All you need to donate is at least a dollar. You know, I mean, if you get a dollar, you get at least a social media.
There's one thing that I've got to say about Jonathan A. Moody. He's been on the show for several times, and today I messaged him like, Jonathan, you want to be on the show? Okay. You know, Jonathan A. Moody is without a doubt one of the most stand-up guys.
Oh,
I mean, Joe
thanks.
And Brett, you guys are too, but Jonathan A. Moody is also there. If you need something, hey, Jonathan, you want to call in? Yep, I'm there. I mean, you're one of the most stand-up guys I know.
Oh, thanks.
And
appreciate
I know that.
That
if you say that you're going to get something done, you're going to get it done.
Sadly, it may take a little longer than I want, but, it'll get done.
Sometimes it does. I mean, but you're also going to get it done. And honestly, I mean, like, if I ever need you, you're there. And I want to thank you.
Hey, Jonathan?
Yes.
Sure.
This is Brett Crewson here. I need $1 million.
I was going to tell Jonathan that thank you for being
don't
there for everything.
I mean, can you get that done? Or?
It may take me 1,000 years, but sure.
Well,
sure. After 1,000 years, man, you can collect that mill.
Will that be interest included because
Brett.
I could pass out.
That's right. We'll carbonate you right now like in Han Solo in The Empire Strikes Back. And, you know, in 1,000 years, we'll come to unfreeze you and go like, here, Brett, here's your $1 million.
Oh, awesome, because I won't even have to wait.
Yeah, that's it. Give them $1 million in the Monopoly money. There you go.
There you go.
Monopoly
I wonder if anybody's ever
asshole.
Tried to, like, you know, buy something with that Monopoly money.
You know, it's funny because I had a bet going on back in, I think I was in fifth grade, and we were talking about there was this bully in my elementary school, and he wanted to make a bet with me, and his information was all wrong. It was on the Star Wars. I believe it was The Empire Strikes Back, and we were talking about a certain, and I was a Star Wars fanatic, and I still am, but not quite like I used to be when I was a kid, but we had made a bet for like, I don't know, $5 or based on some kind of event in that movie, and he was telling me, no, it was this, and I'm like, no, you're wrong, because I got my research done, and I know it, and he goes, all right, well, I'll bet you $5. I'm like, okay. Bring me the proof the next day, he said. Okay, so I came to school with the proof. I had it on paper and everything, and I showed it to him, and he goes, all right, you win. Here's $5. And he handed me a $5 Monopoly mote. And I said, what the fuck? You know? And he says, dude, you never said, like, real money. You just said $5. I got screwed.
There you go.
I got screwed. And I was right. That's what made it even worse. It was like the sting. It was so bad. I had that $5 Monopoly for, like, I don't know, another year or two, just looking at it going, wow, I got to figure out a better way to do this kind of thing. If I'm going to make a bet, I don't want fake whiskey. I want real whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah, that went over everybody's head right there, huh?
Yes. You want really whiskey, I'll save me. But yes, you know, and this year has been really, as we said, a bad year for singers, celebs, the whole nine yards. I know, I think the guy who wrote Watership Down died recently before the new year. For all you book fans, I know there are many of you. He passed away. Then, of course, the big shock and the surprise of David Bowie passing in the beginning of the year.
That was a big
surprise. Wait. I gotta go down. Hold on. How about if we play a David Bowie song?
Go ahead.
Oh, Rebel, yeah. Rebel. Sure. Absolutely.
I think Rebel, that Rebel. Would be... let's see here. Filmmaking. David Bowie on himself. On religion. David Bowie. Oh, I'm not wearing my reading glasses.
Oh, don't
so,
ask me,
Francie. I'm going to pick one.
Whatever song you like.
For me, it really is about the album itself and the contents of the album. You know, it doesn't necessarily... I mean, I've had big hits with albums that I really despise, frankly. You know, albums I don't like, and they've done really, really well. And it always has to be about the material on the album, and whether in hindsight, and pretty fast hindsight within like a month or two of having made it, the album, if I can really look at it and say, this was definitely the very best kind of work I could have done at that particular time. And I feel that very much with Reality. It stands up well. The songs were really made for playing live, and, you know, we're managing to get a good lot of them done on these shows. My presumption is that because I'm enjoying what I'm doing and believe in the songs, then that enthusiasm will pass over into the audience as well, and they'll pick up on that. So it becomes... a two-way avenue, man. I really don't look at any gig other than it being a club. I really try and go on with that. You know, I go on aiming to have a really good time, and so does the band. I mean, there's no point in us getting on the stage. Nothing is a life-threatening situation, you know what I mean? It's just going up and playing a bunch of songs. It's no more complicated than that. And doing it in front of 100 or 200 people, or as many as bother to come here tonight, which is packed out, I understand. There really is no difference, you know, and you've got to go on knowing you're going to have a great time.
What did David Bowie think about David Bowie?
Well, all right, I find that I'm a person who can take on the guises of different people that I meet. I can switch accents in seconds of meeting somebody, and I can adopt their accent. I've always found that I collect. I'm a collector. And I've always just seemed to collect personalities, ideas. I have a hodgepodge philosophy, which really is very minimal. Very
do you believe in God?
What?
Do you believe in God?
I believe in an energy form, but I'm not... I wouldn't like to put a name to it.
Do you indulge in any form of worship?
Life. I love life very much indeed. Yeah.
You split people down the middle, don't you, a lot? That is to say that people are hostile to you or they're totally indifferent.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
What kind of
reaction do you get from the people who are violently in favour of you? I mean, do you get fan mail?
Yes, a lot.
Is it scabrous or dangerous or interesting or exciting?
Very sexy.
In what way?
I seem to draw a lot of bandages out of people. A lot of fan mail I get. A lot of it is awfully nice. I mean, they say, how's your baby and how's your wife and what's your mum's name and things like that. But some of them are worth framing.
Can you tell us about one or two of the framed ones?
No, I couldn't really. No, they really are quite heavy. Heavy duty letters they are.
Heavy duty.
Heavy duty.
Duty.
I drop my T's sometimes.
They said duty.
Duty.
Yeah.
heavy
the
duty.
Nudie party of five.
How awesome is that? You know, you can go back and listen to them. And, you know, there was something I was listening to on the radio is that everybody was saying that, you know, the music died. George Michael died. Prince died.
David Bowie died.
Well,
Pete Byrne.
And Lemmy from Motorhead. And they were like, what's the difference
between
Elvis Presley dying today and everybody dying now? Michael Jackson, oh my gosh. How intense was that? Do you guys remember where you were when Michael Jackson died?
I remember where I was, but I don't remember what I was doing.
I remember where I was. I was in the backyard at the Brookfield of the house, and J.L. Patello actually called me, and on Francie and Friends, we were going to do a little Michael Jackson parody, and he's like, we cannot do it because Michael Jackson died. And my niece, Michaela, who's been on the show, she loves Michael Jackson. And I was like, wait, Michael Jackson? And I looked at my mom and my brother up there, and I was like, Michael Jackson died. And Kayla was at the other grandparents' house of, you know, she's not my child, but, you know, my brother's grandparents. And his first words was, call the grandparents, don't let Kayla watch the news. Because she loves Michael, you know, and there's something that this guy brought up. I was watching news radio. Why is it so vital now? It's more important than when Elvis died. Oh, okay, Elvis died.
Yeah.
The MTV generation.
Well, if you think about George Michael
shake his butt, and I got to have faith. And
when you think about the generation.
Go ahead, Brett.
You guys agree?
Yeah, hold on.
It is.
Go ahead, Brett.
I agree. It's, you know, when you talk about Elvis Presley, you know, he died in the 60s and we weren't even born yet. So, of course, it's not going to affect us as much as those that we had known while we were alive that had influence over us that molded us with their music.
We watched them in our living rooms. How many times did you tune in to MTV and saying, give me George Michael?
Of course. But we have to also
How many times in our living rooms did we watch You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round, like we just talked about? How many times did we watch that video in our living rooms?
Many. But let's also remember.
You know, I didn't know he passed away until you guys told me that tonight.
Yeah.
And Nick said, I didn't know he's so. You know, it's the music came alive, is what they're saying. And, you know, we had MTV, and we're the MTV generation. Tom, are you there? Tom
Sawyer. Earth of Tom. Did we lose Tom?
Oh, I think we did.
Sorry,
but
Tom.
Would you
call
guys
back.
Consider us as the MTV generation?
Jonathan?
No, I'm here.
Me.
Wait, is that Tom?
No, that's Jonathan.
Oh, hey, John. Would you agree that we're the MTV generation?
I don't know. Like, I don't really know what classifies as that anymore.
Right.
I guess, you know,
I guess
40-year-olds and 30-year-olds might be, but...
Are we Generation X? Are we...
We're the generation of what? Who? Why?
Wait,
where?
Are you MTV generation or are you 16 and pregnant generation?
I'm going MTV generation, if you're asking me that
question.
Okay,
there we go.
No, I think 16 and pregnant came on like 20 years later.
Oh, God.
So,
now it's the catfish generation.
Yes,
oh, I love catfish. Oh, my gosh. I was, like, watching it. I was like, I can't wait to see who the...
catfishy was?
I'm the guy or girl.
I'm going to actually watch an episode tonight because I have it on, I have like a Roku TV. And on the Roku TV, I have like the MTV channel thing so I can stream old episodes, I guess, or whatever.
And so I'm looking forward to actually watching
a couple of them. I haven't seen a lot of them recently.
You're watching your first episode on...
Joke when not TV.
I've seen every episode. I'm waiting for the next one because I watched all of them.
I like the Katy Perry one.
Ah, good.
All right. So let's play a little bit of a soundbite.
Go ahead.
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to. Okay. Honey. I'm old, Jonathan, and I need my glasses.
Yeah.
I don't know. I lost my glasses. Joe, and maybe Nick found my glasses.
Congratulations.
Nick, do you want to see anything?
Hi, Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year, Nick.
Busy too. I'm always busy.
Always. We know. By the way, guys. Before Francie queues anything up, I will let you know, I will be out in Pasadena April 7th. Hold on, let me get the date correct. I don't want to screw up the date. So, Mr. Brett,
yes.
You're still with us.
I am.
I will be down in Pasadena on April 7th through the 9th of this year. For Monster Palooza. So if anyone out in the LA area or anywhere else would like to come check out Monster Palooza. Great time. And I'll run down the guest list real quick. So far, our guest list includes Kane Hodder from Friday the 13th and a lot of fun stuff. Tom Savini, Rico Browning from The Creature from the Black Lagoon. Greg Canham, Academy Award makeup artist. Kenny Myers, as well, makeup artist. Samantha Mathis from American Psycho,
oh,
The Strain. Broken Arrow, Under the Dome. Of course, my favorite movie, Pump Up the Volume. Stephen Patty, Watchmen, The Strain,
later.
300.
Hello.
Hold on. Yes, George Wendt from Cheers. And House, William Catt, Carrie, The Greatest American Hero, House, Barbara Steele will be there, Terry Kaiser, everyone remembers Terry from Weekends of Bernie's 1 and 2,
As well as Friday the 13th, Part 7.
That's right. He was also on Friday the 13th, Part 7. Steve Johnson, makeup artist and FX artist from Night of the Demons, Big Trouble, Little China, Species,
Wait.
Fright Night. Let's
Wait.
See. Harry Manfredini,
what?
Ari Lehman. Yes, Francie.
You need to be at this convention, Nick.
Well, yeah, Ari Lehman, Harry Manfredini, who's always a great guy, the musician from the music from Friday
Heroes.
The 13th.
Look what it's
Kyoto
happened.
Brothers. Kyoto's. Basil Gugu. Gugu. Let's see, John Post, Bill Diamond, the Cheney family, Sarah Karloff, a good friend of mine who I haven't seen in a long time, former editor of Fangoria, Anthony Capone, and Bela Lugosi, Bela Lugosi Jr. There it is. That's the
wow.
guest list so far for Monster Palooza in April. This is called Monster Palooza. It's a convention mostly made up of makeup artists and some celebs that they get to come, and you get to watch people do makeup on people, and they
oh, wait.
Do panels
yeah.
or they'll
the
do
greatest
training.
American hero is going to be there?
Yeah, the greatest American hero, William Catt, will be there with George Wendt,
William
Catt. Star from House.
Cheers. Also, George Wendt is doing a huge, he wrote a couple of books basically
like,
on fear.
Yeah.
Cheers. Hey,
Joe.
I'm Steven
yeah. oh,
Mustard.
Everybody wants Joe's attention right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on
yeah,
top
Jonathan.
Of the world.
Hold on, friends. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Well, I was just going to say, I heard a funny story. I guess one of the people I'm friends with represents George Wendt. And they were at a convention, and when they went to the bar, everybody goes,
oh.
Norm!
Oh! Just imagine, if you're at a
pretty
convention,
sure that probably happened.
You're George Wendt.
Everybody
yeah,
goes,
Norm! It'd be like, just like with Alan Rickman in Galaxy Quest, he's really going like, oh, God, why am I here? Why?
Right,
oh,
exactly.
God, I'm having a beer.
Because I need the money.
You know, this convention is a lot of fun. And maybe, you know, Jackie Hall, if you're listening, since you might be in the California area, I don't know if she still is or not.
She still
but
is.
But Jackie, you should come up to for this. It'll be a lot of fun. Just to hang
I'll,
out.
I'll let her know about it.
Because I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be trying to do interviews. So, and of course, Nick and Francie should show up. So should Brett from
I
Season
was
Cali.
Hoping you would say that.
Because I've invited
I
everybody.
I actually named one of my chocolate labs Norm.
There
and
you go.
The reason... Why is because whenever he walks in the room, Norm.
There you go.
Hey,
but,
Joe.
Yeah.
I really
yes,
wanted
yeah,
to do
fine.
An interview with him, and he's one of the guys, like, you know, you got Phil Collins and Gene Wilder
no.
passed away. I mean, there are
yeah.
certain people you want to talk to.
Yeah, and some of these people
no,
are real good.
No, not just I, Nick.
Yes.
And,
go ahead,
know,
Brad.
There's people that you grew up
okay.
with.
And, hold on, Brad.
I'm watching
hold
Norm.
No. Go ahead, Brad.
And like George Costanza, too. You know, you...
Gotta
yeah. do that
interview
too. There
Sorry, you go. Go ahead, Brett.
You got
oh,
a copy?
Brett.
Everybody got a copy?
Not yet. Yeah,
okay.
I got a copy. I got
okay.
a copy of something. But yeah, as I said, this will be a fun time. It you sure. know out here in Pasadena, but
Go ahead,
so,
Brett.
Listen, man, you and I have been trying to get, I think this year in April, right?
Yeah, this year's April.
Okay, this would probably be the fifth time that you and I have been trying to get together. Seriously. And
yes.
Every time I always have something else going on to where I end up not making it up. And Pasadena is like down the street from me compared to where you're coming from. Like every year,
I mean,
Joe, we're going to get together, man. Joe, what hotel are you going to be at?
Yeah.
Where are we going to be at on the floor? And I never fucking make it. This year,
well,
I'm going to try and get this done.
You've got to just, like, you know, this is the fun thing about Monster Palooza. Even though I personally prefer Burbank, but you know, but that's the convention, and this is for anyone listening. The convention got so big out in Burbank that
they had to move it to Pasadena.
Due to the fire marshal law, they had to move the convention to a bigger space. So they moved it last year to Pasadena.
But that's not a bad thing.
It's not. And hold on, Ben. I don't knock Pasadena. I love the convention. And then, of course, they do the spinoff, Son of Monster Palooza, still at Burbank. So if you miss Monster Palooza in April, you can always wait until October or whenever they do it, I guess. And so it's a lot of fun, and everyone should try to come out for this convention. It's a great time.
Right.
And this year, I am gonna
try to make it out this year. You know what, Joe?
Yeah.
I've always disappointed you over the last 4 years. This year, I'm gonna try to make it happen because you and I, we've been doing stuff together for a long time here. You know, doing radio together. And I gotta tell you, man. This year, I'm going to really try to look for that top hat in the crowd.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, it'll be kind of easy to find me. Just look for the herd
of
fans. No, or better yet, you know, just like, you know, give me a call, you know, and I'll let you know where I'm at. And I'll come out and I'll meet you, you know, out in front of the convention.
The old number
gone.
I have for you is changed, so you gotta send me your new number, dude.
I will. I'll email it to you after the show, so you'll have
I'll send it over Facebook, private message, you know.